You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. 7 minutes after 8 Central African Time, it's time for the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course our beloved Honorable Senior Respected Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Yom al-Thulatha, the 4th of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1442, which is also the 15th of June, 2021. Our Zakat Nisab, 8,000 Rand. Meher Fatimi, 20,000 Rand. Minimum Meher for Hanafis, 400 Rand. For Malikis, 135 Rand. For Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no minimum meher. Our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, plus 27-84-786-3132. Our beloved Ustad's email address is akhussein@gmail.com. That is akhussein@gmail.com. Our beloved Ustad's website is www.muftiakhussein.net. That is www.muftiakhussein.net. Our beloved Ustad's Twitter account is @akhussein. That is @akhussein. Before we cross over to our beloved Honorable Ustad, let's welcome our beloved two engineers this evening. Of course, here in Johannesburg, Brother Lekolo and our engineer in the Durban studios. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmail and Hafiz, Yusuf Asmail and Company. And we welcome the listeners of Al Ansar International and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ustad, welcome to the program this evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Listener wants to know, Ustad, can a husband bury his wife? Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is ijma and consensus on that issue according to all four schools, the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, Hanafis, that the husband can go into the grave and bury his wife, totally permissible. And remember Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he buried Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. Some people say, but the nikah is broken. Yes, according to the Hanafis, the nikah is broken, but it does not mean you can't go into the grave and bury your wife. You can't touch her skin to skin, but like that you carry her and you bury her. So all that permissible according to all four schools of thought.
Listener says, Ustad, when is Eid al-Adha this year, 1442, Ustad?
I see, mashallah, I'm receiving these queries from various listeners. Now, obviously, we can't give you 100%, but we can give you an idea. If you look at the calendars and so forth, you know we have to wait for the moon samis and for the mancakers, and it's subject to sighting or no sighting of the moon and so forth. But to give you an idea, it will be on the 21st of July, that Wednesday, day, inshallah, that is per calendar and per schedule. So inshallah, we beg Almighty Allah, whatever is khair and good for us and the Ummah Muslimah, Allah Jalla wa Ala makes this Eid, Eid al-Adha, also easy for us. And for Swalli li Rabbika wanhar, perform your Eid al-Adha Salat, and then you go make your Qurbani and slaughter the camel, slaughter the goat, slaughter the sheep, slaughter the cow. So remember, in that text there, wanhar refers to sacrificing, slaughtering the camel. So inshallah, Almighty Allah protect and preserve us, that we enjoy another wonderful, spiritually uplifting Eid al-Adha. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.
Somebody says here, Mufti Sahab, that if I buy a cow for Qurbani, Ustad, can I have two shares for Aqiqah as well?
100%, that also is permissible. Remember, you buy a camel, you buy a cow, so there will be 7 shares there. You want to buy it because you got 4 or 5 shares for your qurbani. Now there are 2 or 3 shares left, so you want to use that for aqiqah. Or you still got 1 left, for example, you want to use it as isali sawab for the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all that will be flexible, acceptable, very good to do so, inshallah. While we are busy on that, remember, let me mention 2-3 points here. Number one is, best is to make qurbani in your hometown, in your home country. This business of sending to India and Malawi and here and there and all that, it will be permissible, provided that the organizers and the people who are arranging it are 100% credible people. We know from past experience that people have burned their fingers. So many people took money, but they didn't slaughter, you understand, all the animals. Let me give you one easy example. ABC person, XYZ person took money from 100 people, 1,000 people, and they gave him, that person, the money, the Maulana, the money, and they told him 1 share is for the marhum, for the deceased. So just make it easy, he collected 100 from 100 people, and remember 1,000 rand, whatever the amount. So it's 100,000 rand. But he slaughters 1, 2 only and say, this is for the marhum. So what are you doing? You are crooking those people there. They thinking that your 1 share you will slaughter for the deceased. But you only slaughtered 5 or 10, and the other 90, 95, you said, no, it's always my shamil ho gaya. All that are included. So this is how the crookery and the loopholes and all that start working. So therefore, personally, as I told you, 70-80% of the organizations corrupt in South Africa and in the world as well. So you must be very careful, circumspect, to whom you give your money regarding your qurbani for India, Malawi, Aman's Kral, wherever you want to, and rather you slaughter in front of your own eyes, then you know that that is done properly. Although you paid a little bit more, but remember, for the love and pleasure of all, may Allah, we do so. وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَوَا يُخْلِفُ. Whatever you spend, remember, Allah will give you a better replacement. So we should not feel shy to spend in the path of all, may Allah. Allah Jalla Wala open our hearts and our minds.
I see on that question, the brother from Pretoria says, just took Muftis up, that we did catch the brother. We paid him for the qurbani, but he came with the video, and that he was sending that video to over and over and over to different several people who start one specific video.
Yes, I know about those people as well. So I myself exposed them some places. You must remember, one video they will send to 1,000 people and say, see, your qurbani is done, your qurbani is done. But it's the same animal, you understood? So that is how they hoodwink and they show the people there to make them fools. Because there's no shortage today, you must remember. People are gullible, and you must remember, herd mentality. They treat the people like animals, you know, today. Allah Jalla Wala protect us.
Somebody says, we cannot go for Hajj, Mufti Sahab, this year, but Hajj is compulsory upon me. What should I do? Start.
Here there are 3 issues. We don't have to curry favor with any person, any politician, any government organization. Number one, to now curb the figure at 60,000 and say that it will only be Al-Hujjaj Ud-Dakhili, only the local pilgrims from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and nobody from outside. Is that permissible from Quran and Sunnah and so forth? That itself is not permissible. Remember that, to make laws like that, that nobody can perform Hajj from foreign, so that Islamically definitely unacceptable. So that's one point. Second point is this, you, my brother, Hajj is compulsory upon me, upon you rather, you got the 100,000 rand and you're supposed to go for Hajj, but now you can't go. So what you should do is write it in your will. If and when things get back to normal, then somebody must perform Hajj Badal on your behalf and so forth and so on. Or as a last resort, you must remember that somebody who is there in Makkah, that they can perform your Hajj. But although when the Hajj is compulsory, it should be from the country from where you are and not from Makkah and so forth. But there's a last resort, so that also can take place there because of circumstances and so forth and so on. But my advice will be that you should write it and include it in your world. And when things get back to normal and so forth, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala take us all for Umrah, for Ameen. Hajj to Diyar-e Mustafa, Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Medina Munawwara. We must never lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah. Read Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 128. And remember, the sin is on them, the authorities, for preventing the people from coming for Hajj. Remember, there's no question about that. The sin is not upon you. You want to go. The sin is upon them. That why are they bringing about so many obstacles and so many problems and so forth? That you must go. Yesterday I spoke to one person. So in Memon, you know, he's an old Haji Sahib of ours. So I told him, Haji Sahib, Korot, you are in Avia Umrah line. You didn't go for Umrah. He said, no. They told me I must go for 2 weeks quarantine. So I said, fine, I will go. So which country? They said, I must go to Lesotho. So I said, from Lesotho, then how are you going to go? There's no plane from there. You have to come back to... They say, but leave it. There's so much occurred that now I'm even going to cancel my Iqama and all my permanent residence and all that. So imagine so many problems there are that Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara is open for everybody. Sawa anil akifu fihi wal bad, the Quran says. Whether you are a local or whether you're a foreigner or whatever. So therefore, all these type of rulings, we cannot agree with them. Remember that. It's un-Islamic and not permissible.
There's a saying, Ustad, that the black stone was stolen from the Kaaba. Ustad, is it true?
100%, you must remember, you should know this type of incidents. In my Hajj book, the Hajj Q&A, I have mentioned it. And Sheikh Saeed Baghdash, I met him personally there in Medina Munawwara, mashallah, and is a great, great scholar. And he wrote books about Zamzam, he wrote book about Hajar-e Aswad, he wrote so many things there. So in there, he's got all the details. I'll just summarize the whole thing. It was in the year 317. Remember, 317 after Hijrah. It was the first day of Hajj, the 8th of Zulhijjah. The Qaramita, the enemies of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah came. And remember, they massacred and slaughtered the Muslims who were in Ihram. And then they dumped their bodies in Zamzam well and here and there and everywhere. And then they stole the Hajar-e Aswad. And it came back in 339, meaning after 22 years. Therefore, I don't know how many of you had opportunity with Allah's help. Several occasions we had the opportunity, especially in the early days when the crowds were very small. If you study the Hajar-e Aswad, you will see it's small, small pearls. And remember, it is 8 pieces there. So the Hajar-e Aswad was retrieved after 22 years, and then it was placed back in its original portion, but it's not one stone because they stole it, they smashed it to pieces and so forth. These are the Qaramita, and 22 years it was missing and not there at the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa. These Qaramita and these type of people definitely out of the fold of Islam. Imagine, wa may yurid fihi bi ilhadim bi dhulmin nuziqu min adhabin alim. Allah Jalla Wala states, people who make intention that they are going to cause deviation, oppression, transgression in the Haram Sharif, Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifah, and all these areas. Nuziqhu min adhabin aleem. We will unleash a terrible, painful punishment for them. So that is what happened to them. So Almighty Allah punished them. And now they don't exist, basically. But this incident happened in the year 317 after the Hijrah on the first day of Hajj. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala protect the Haramain Sharifain and Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak and all our masajid throughout the world. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen.
I see a listener says that Mufti Sahab, we also afraid because so many people are passing away, Ustad. What should we do? What should we read, Ustad?
Today, when I left the studio and I went for Fajr Salat, so I met one brother there in the Jami Masjid after Fajr. He said yesterday meaning Sunday, that his brother passed away. He told me he's ill and sick, but I didn't know he passed away. He said yesterday alone, here at Avalon, our cemetery graveyard here in Indonesia, I'm speaking of Muslims now, 21 Muslims passed away, their janazas took place. Now, obviously, we all can realize that these are all abnormal figures and so forth. Yes, there is a pandemic. Yes, there is a plandemic. Whatever you want to call it, plandemic or pandemic, there is a problem. Nobody can reject that. So what should we do? So this is a three-part question. For those who passed away with Iman and Islam, you, O Muslim, O Muslimah, you must learn these two du'as. Both are enshrined and mentioned in the Noble Quran. Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. رَبَّنَا فِلِّي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, verse 41. Second dua, O Muslim, O Muslimah, you must learn Surah 59, verse 10. Surah Hashr in the 28th Juz, 28th Supara. I just read today after Asr, 28th Juz. So you must remember that what we should do, learn this dua. رَبَّنَا فِلْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ Oh, my beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive us. Forgive our brothers and sisters who passed away before us with Iman. So in the 28th Juz, 28th part, 28th Supara, chapter number 59, and that is Surah Hashr, verse 10. So read that abundantly for the deceased. But it must be Muslim. We can't make dua for non-Muslims after they died. Yes, while they are alive, we make dua. Oh, Almighty Allah, confer and grant them Islam. So that's one issue. Second issue for ourselves, what should we be reading? Read now with me. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Oh, beloved Allah, I seek your protection. Min sayyi'il asqam. So, Ya Allah, I seek your protection from the dreaded diseases, the evil sicknesses. So read that abundantly, authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and Sunan Nasai. And third one, O parents, O teachers, O elders, for yourself, for your juniors, for your students, your children, always say, Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi d-dini wal-dunya wal-akhirah. Ya Allah, we beg of you, we are paupers and beggars, Ya Allah, we beg of you forgiveness. Wal-afiyah. So afiyah is one word, but encyclopedic meaning. Everything a normal human being will relish and cherish, whether it's our health, our wealth, our honor, most importantly, our iman, our Islam, our faith, our conviction. So Ya Allah, we beg of you that. In our worldly life, fiddini and religious life, with dunya, our worldly life, will akhirah for the year after. So always say, oh children, I make dua for you. Allah Jalla wala will grant you afiyah, safety, comfort, goodness. So these are the duas we must do. Third one, the greatest lesson we must learn. We all know we have to go. Mawlana Arafat, I don't know if you saw that. Mm-hmm. Just now about 6-10 people, I think, sent me. They say there's a hit list out, you understood? And they got a lot of Maulanas and Muftis names there and there. So I looked at it and I was smiling. Suddenly I saw my name is there. So I said, oh, this must be one of the Dajjals, you understood? They say it's a hit list and this type of thing. These people could die and so forth. So you must remember that South Africa is an interesting country. You must remember that. So we don't fear all these people and fear things. We must fear Allah, Jalla wa'ala, and what we say. Every Muslim, read Surah 12, verse 101. Tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bis-salihin. Oh, beloved Allah, let us pass away with Iman and Islam. And unite me with the pious and devout servants, Ya Allah. So that is what we should be concerned. Marnato, hey, we all have to die. There's no question about that. But Allah Ta'ala, take us with Iman, Ameen. Take us with Islam. And when you study the various ahadith. Allahumma ij'al khayra ayyamina yawma nalqaka fi. Ya Allah, make that the best day of our life, the day we come to meet you. I think of my student and our student, Mona Ismail Saleji. He studied there by us in Darul, mashallah. In 1973, Mona Qasim Sema started Darul. Allah Ta'ala grant Mona Qasim Sema Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen.
83, we had 7 students graduating. From the 7, 4 have already passed away. Only 3 are living. And you must remember, one was Mona Ismail Saleji. Even I taught him in the final year with Allah's help. See, he passes away in sajda. So that is the meaning of this hadith. Allahumma ij'al khayra ayyamina yawma nalqaka fi. Ya Allah, make that the best day in our life, the day we come to meet you, Ya Allah. So that should be the hadith in Musnad Ahmad. That should be our concern. May Almighty Allah make it easy for us.
I see the listener is saying, Ya Ustad, have you heard the new government is in Palestine? What will happen from now, Ustad?
Remember that in occupied Palestine, you must say, in the rogue regime of Israel, BB gone, history.
Mm-hmm.
He and Trump thrown to the scraps of history. They thought they're going to bring the deal of the century. Kushner is pushed right out. You must remember that. Thrown to the scraps of history. Bennett is in. We got nothing to do with them. For us, each one of them is a criminal, and each one of them will treat the Palestinians as second, third, fourth class. And remember, this is the agenda of India. This is the agenda of Israel. That is the agenda of Syria and so many other countries, where the Muslims and especially the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah will be treated as second, third, fourth class citizens. So may Almighty Allah Jalla wala alleviate the plight of our Palestinians, help the children, our flowers, help the men and the women in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Al-Quds Sharif, in Jerusalem and all parts of Palestine. But one message I will give you. I know you're listening to me, you jutlas, you keep on listening to me. So you must remember, your time is up. Remember, I was a young boy. You see, this year, that 16 June, you must remember, was when the youngsters, they said enough is enough, you know, here in South Africa. We don't want this Bantu education, we don't want this, everything inferior. And they fought till the death, remember that. And then you must remember 1992, 93, 94, new elections, and then finish, apartheid thrown to the scraps of history. This Gaza war, if you want to call it a war, which the Hamas and the Palestinians beat the rogue apartheid regime of Israel, was a turning point. And it brought about disgrace for Netanyahu and his ministers and his party. So that is what Allah is teaching us. The Arabs have sold them out. Every Arab country, 90% you can say, sold them out. 2-3 you can exclude. Muslim countries, majority sold them out. They said, this is our battle. We will let our iman and connection be with Allah. Bidduruh wa biddam nafdika ya aqsa. You go and speak to the women, go and speak to the men, go and speak to the children and see what they say. We demand the right of return for the 6 million Palestinians in the diaspora. Why a jutla can come, a Jew can come from any country, but why the Palestinians got no right of return? So that is why we hold America, we hold Europe, we hold the Western world, that you are complicit in this crime. Why don't you apply sanctions? Why don't you say that we will do with the rogue regime of Israel what we did with the white minority regime in South Africa? Simple to do it, but they all got a hidden agenda and an ulterior motive. So therefore, we need to understand the geopolitics and the real politics that's going on.
Well, we're going to go, inshallah, for an ad break. It's exactly 8:30. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the Q&A. Don't go away. Stay tuned.